This is the BBC Home Service. We present Dot by Ed Harris.
When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and sing.
Oh, to think, Peggy. By the end of today, 1,300,000 children will have been evacuated from London to the countryside.
Utterly terrible. A frightful omen of what's to come.
Indeed. No more animated pipsqueakery from the nursery at number 32. Simply a muslin square hung over a rocking chair.
Hmm? Oh, no, not that. Have you seen today's schedule? Air Marshal Peabody's descending on us with one of his ghastly, there's no such thing as a bad idea intelligence meeting.
Oh, varicose asses.
Although I'm sure what you were saying was frightfully sad too.
Yeah, not really. I loathe children. I just said it in case you were missing anyone.
By the way, where's Myrtle?
Well, for some reason, one was required to see off the last of the evacuees at Paddington, old girl. So one said Myrtle in one's place.
Hello, girls. Oh, I'm gonna miss those little pug-nosed rotters. No more tinkling of bicycle bells and a chip, excuse me, miss, from behind.
Myrtle, why in the name of hell's suppurating gusset are you wearing that ridiculous oversized raincoat?
I can't say.
It's perfectly warm in here, and you look like you're smuggling something. The size and weight of a small... Take off your raincoat.
You won't like it.
I'm sure I won't. There's a reason people don't make a habit of asking you to remove your clothing. But in this one case, Myrtle, do as I say.
Ooh-wee.
Myrtle, who's this?
The little girl.
The little girl clinging to you under your raincoat, Myrtle.
Her name's Hapney. The thing about it is, yeah, that...
Who are you?
My name's Dot. I'm Myrtle's superior.
Ugh, you've got a face like a man.
Myrtle, take your new cherubic pal back to Paddington Station and put her
on... Look, all the trains left on me, this little... Dolly was the only one left behind.
Well, she can't stay here. I was only just saying aloud to Peggy here that...
Hi, Peg.
Morning, Mert.
That Air Marshal Peabody's about to descend on us for a meeting.
But she's only little and she can't remember where she's from.
All right.
Or even her surname, and she's lost it. And she'll tell you herself, war-torn London's no place for an angel. The pigeons will be sick on my wings.
Right, coat on. Put that child away.
Why?
Because life is not a circus, Myrtle, full of hilarity and cartwheels. This is the Cabinet War Rooms, and our sole purpose is to administrate total war and defend Britain from invasion. We do not have a bring-your-daughter-to-work day. Coat on, buttons up, and keep that little oik quiet.
I hate you!
In you go, Hapney.
Ladies. Well, what unfettered marvellousness. You're back. Hope evacuation detail wasn't too arduous. Take a pew, ladies, take a pew. Now... I'm going to be saying some relatively avant-garde things over the next 5 to 10 minutes, and I'm going to make my first avant-garde comment now. There's no such thing as a bad idea. Spiffing. So, that said, propaganda. We need plenty of it, namely to muster British moxie, something to firm up the loose fundaments of our quivering lower orders.
Hand up.
Perhaps some sort of constipation tablet, sir.
What? Ah! That's exactly the kind of ready British wordplay I was hoping for from the lady on the end.
Dorothy, sir.
Lady number three.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, lady three. Well, off I pop then. Presentation's a week on Thursday. I'll see you there.
Wait, what? Where?
The country residence of the Minister for Information, the Right Honourable Caspian Washtenrub. Every department is to submit one idea for a rollicking can-do poster to inspire the population of Britain. And the winner takes home in his or her wallet or purse a whole 10 shillings to spend as he or she chooses.
I've done a fart in your coat.
Who said that?
I did. I was... A slogan, possibly, for the propaganda posters. I've done a fart in your coat. You said there was no such thing as a bad idea.
Ah, well. Oh, hand up from the lady in the middle, with something large squirming in her raincoat.
I was wondering about that, too, because I reckon I've had about 3 bad ideas just sitting here listening to you.
Me too.
Here's the address of the Right Honourable Caspian Washtenrub's country residence in Little Sodom. I'm writing the address of this country residence down now, on the back of this distinctive pink timesheet. Don't let it out of your sight, or ever get it muddled with one of those rose-coloured ones. And girls, don't let me down. I've placed a £25 bet with Washtenrub, riding on you three winning. TTFN, ladies.
I can't breathe.
Let her out, Myrtle.
Yucky eggs. None of you are my mum. Where's my mum?
peg.
Dotty?
Get down to Paddington Station and steal, swindle or snatch a ticket for Halfpenny on the next train out of here. It doesn't matter where to, just away from here. Peg?
Yes.
Battle. Unfortunately, that leaves you to help me think of a propaganda slogan for Peabody.
Rush out.
So, distract that little tin pot misery with drawing or a choking hazard or something and get to work. Well, it's been 2 hours, Myrtle. What progress on the propaganda front?
It's very much a fast draft, Dotty.
I'm sure with a little tinkering and to and fro, we can... You've done a drawing.
It's a pirate ship, Dotty. Halfpenny helped.
I've done the blue bits.
Start again. We need words. Something black and white. Hammered home. As vividly stirring as it is fiercely patriotic. Britain. Fiercely Britain.
Oh.
Oh, Britain. Something Shakespearean almost. Something...
Britain.
Halfpenny's right. Imagine a pit bull with a ruff, which is Shakespearean, and a speech bubble, and he's on stage and he's saying, Britain, good. And then, because we're all cheering like loonies, he invites us all up on stage to dance, and then the band starts playing.
Well, Shakespearean was the wrong note. When I say Shakespearean, I mean better.
Tricky. Yeah.
That sounds like that toxic, two-faced anal shrew from Intelligence.
Anal shrew?
Even the sound of her heels scrapes at my spine. Quick, hide, Halfpenny.
Quick, under the table.
Oh,
Millicent Hillary Jones. I was wondering when our paths would cross.
Ah, Dotty. Yes, I meant to come by earlier, but obviously we've all been very busy across the hall where all the actual work is going on.
Huh, quite.
Oh, your propaganda poster's coming along. Tiresome, I know, but someone has to do it.
Very much still kicking the ball back and forth. Yeah. No such thing as a bad idea.
Is there not? Well, Peabody had been rather keen to have your office relocated to the Gold Coast. As part of the African front. But then you saw his daughter off at the train station, and he saw fit to forget about that momentarily.
Yes. What?
He was rather keen to have you relocated.
The other bit.
Peabody's daughter. Not Mr. and Mrs. Peabody's daughter, per se, but more a kind of embarrassing extravagance with one of his housekeepers. You did see off his daughter, Dotty. Common, foul-mouthed, teased like a circus. It was the sole reason you were sent to oversee operations. You did get the memo, didn't you, Dotty? You didn't just send your goblin in your place, did you?
No.
Good. Well, toodle-bye for now.
She seems nice.
Oh, hell on toast, Myrtle. This is bad.
Is it?
Of course it is. Halfpenny, why didn't you tell me you were Peabody's blasted daughter?
Because you was ugly. And later, I was doing the Jolly Roger.
She's Peabody's bloody illegitimate daughter. If we don't get her out of London and to safety, it'll be the Gold Coast for us.
Great! I've drawn a ship. If we climb on board...
No, Myrtle, you moon-faced git. The Gold Coast is a bad thing. Even if we don't die of malnutrition or enemy torpedoes en route, we'll spend the rest of the war being cooked alive in our own sweat and shirt sleeves.
Oh, Lord, Dotty, what'll we do?
We hope, Myrtle. We hope Peg managed to...
Hello, girls.
You failed, didn't you?
Yes. Evacuation's done. Halfpenny's the last child in London.
Oi, lady, I'm hungry. And you've got a head like a foot with toes in all the wrong places.
Shut up! Peg, you'll have to take her out into the sticks yourself.
Terribly busy, old girl. Oh, that's a nice picture, Myrtle.
Peg!
Maybe you should do something for once.
But it's Myrtle's raincoat.
What? What am I doing?
You're taking Halfpenny out into the sticks tonight. I'm writing the address of a kindly nunnery on the back of this distinctive rose-coloured timesheet. And by no means confuse it with the address of the Right Honourable Caspian Washtenrod's country residence in Little Sodom, scrawled on the back of this distinctive pink timesheet. Take Halfpenny.
You smell like bits of fish.
Drop her with the nuns.
Nuns smell like big hairy bums.
And then come back tomorrow morning.
Morning smell like dead pants.
Ready for work. With a propaganda idea better than your Shakespearean dog on stage. Very good?
Right. Halfpenny, we must away. Wait here at the station, Halfpenny. I'll see if I can find the nunnery.
Oh, righty-ho, Auntie Mert.
Oh, you cosy up on this bench. Oh. Right. You're on your own now, Myrtle. Time to find that nunnery. So,
Left out a little Sodom train station, just as Dotty scrawled on the back of this distinctive pink timesheet in Peabody's handwriting.
Sorry, you talking to me?
Oh, sorry. Who are you?
Just a passerby.
Oh, right. Nice. No, I was just talking to myself, really, like how they do.
Ah, well, you can see why I thought you were talking to me. I was thinking, what nunnery? Who's Dotty? Well, if you're not talking to me, I'll be on my way. Sorry for the misunderstanding.
Oh, my fault, passerby. Good night, passerby.
Good night.
No. Oh, he was nice. Oh, crumbs, now it's raining and everything.
You! You, girl!
Me?
Yes, you! Why aren't you in school?
It's night time.
Hitherto, this instant, you recalcitrant loon.
There's two of us.
Then you must be the two little evacuee children we've been waiting for. Well, fetch her then, before I festoon you both with lashes.
All right.
Oi, opening. Come in.
Myrtle's been gone for the best part of a week.
Yes, Peggy, thank you. It has been the best part. That kind of sunny, glass-half-full optimism is very welcome in this office. But all the same, I'm perplexed. It's not like Myrtle to disobey orders.
I keep getting images of her stuck in a ditch somewhere awful.
Thank you again, Peggy. You certainly know how to boost morale.
Oh, concussed and wandering around thinking she's the mayor of Casterbridge or something.
Now, stop it, Peggy. But seriously, how's the old propaganda poster progressing, Peggy?
Just polishing the I's and finessing the T's.
And it's not a pirate ship.
Not any kind of ship.
Or a dog in a rough.
Watch your lip. Don't make a slip. Each error increases terror.
They're not all that bad, Peg. Keep on keeping on, old girl. Dotty's impressed.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Afternoon, Millicent.
I was wondering, Dotty, on your notoriously workshy meanderings between offices, you know, when you drift aimlessly from room to room, clutching a stack of files to your chest, which you presumably think make you look busy.
What?
Never did. On your little pointless expeditions, you haven't spotted any post for Air Marshal Peabody, have you?
Post?
No, I didn't think so. He was expecting his nullus filius to write his ward, Dotty. He expected his out-of-wedlock progenial accident to pen him a letter. His bastard daughter, Dotty. But speaking of Africa...
Yes?
I've brought you some holiday brochures. They're pre-war, obviously. These sunny stretches are now mostly just mass graves. But it's still terrifically hot out there on the Gold Coast. And that's what a holiday's for, wouldn't you say, old girl? How is your propaganda poster coming along, Dorothy?
Terrifically, as it happens, Millicent. All goes bally, bollocking, rollicking well, thank you. And in addition to which, Millicent, you can inform the Air Marshal that I have in my drawer rather an important missive for him. Arrived this morning, from the country.
Ah, well, I'll take that.
I'm afraid, as I signed for it, it would be indolent of me to simply throw it about the staff, willy-nilly. Be a good girl and ask him to pop it along, would you?
Of course, Dorothy. And do take the time to have a flick through the brochures. I'm sure you'll find them very informative.
You are a dream, Millicent. Thank you.
Dot?
Shut up, Peg.
How on earth do you have a letter from Hippany?
Shut up, Peg.
At last I knew you'd lost the Air Marshal's daughter.
Yes,
along
Peg.
Along with Myrtle.
Thank you, Peg.
The best part of a week ago, and things had never looked bleaker.
Finished?
I will offer a reprieve.
Reach in there.
In here?
That's it.
Right. I can't feel anything.
A useless finger's the feeling point with.
The way I look at it, Peg, this. Fortune favours the bold, the brave, and the downright underhand. Out the way. Quickly, quickly. I presume you won't be using your typewriter in the next few minutes. After which, one of the nuns, Sister Oatmeal, showed me how to catch tiddlywinks in jam jars, and Cousin Henry, a boy from the village, taught me all all about the Tudors.
Ah, how sage this Sister Oatmeal character sounds. How like my own grandmama. Proceed.
And this morning, as the milkmaids push their bicycles through the morning mist to Holy Communion, Cousin Henry...
Him again? I'm not awfully certain about this ubiquitous Cousin Henry chap. Cropping up rather a lot, isn't he?
Let me finish. This morning, as the milkmaids push their bicycles to Holy Communion, Cousin Henry died.
Bravo! The good Lord giveth, and the good Lord kicketh their bucket. You must take this down at once, old stick, before the muse leaves me. Ready?
Gosh, yes, sir.
I hope you don't recoil at familial sentimentality, old girl. Dear Hapney, I'm sending postal order of 10 shillings presently. Yours, Air Marshal Peabody, KCB OBE.
I fear my mascara will run, sir.
Too much? No, you're right. Make that 3 farthings. Don't want the little upstart thinking she's one of us.
Yes, sir.
Jolly body. And this is her address here, written on the back of this distinctive rose-coloured timesheet?
Oh, good Lord. Yes, it is.
And this is where she is? 33?
Yes, that's definitely where she is. I can't quite think yet of another address to which she could have been delivered, or quite how there could have been a mix-up.
So many timesheets, so little time. TTFN, 33.
Peg!
Here, Dotty. Just doing a bit of ambient background typing for authenticity.
You carry on, old girl. I'll think aloud instead. If Myrtle didn't take the address I wrote down for the nunnery, where on earth did she go?
I'd be doing actual typing, except you may have broken my fingers when you slammed them in the drawer.
Oi, Myrtle!
Hello, Aitney.
Do you want to play down by the street?
We can play dressings off.
Girls!
Hello, matron. Oh, I've done a picture of you. Oh.
I helped. Look, I'll give you wings.
She didn't really help, but she can say she did. I don't mind.
Well, isn't that splendid? Now, girls, I want you to wash your hands for supper. The man of the house is back and would very much like to meet these new additions to the household who have been evacuated all the way from the city.
All right.
Well, off you pop, then. Off your pop.
Pop, pop, pop.
So, Peg, you know I hate surprises. Tell me this glorious propaganda slogan of yours.
Following on from the theme of careless talk, I sketched out an idea I've called Loose Lips, Sink Ships.
Peg.
No, wait.
I must say.
Or Tittle Tattle, Cost the Battle was another one.
Peg, that's... People are giving away important detailed information all the time in everyday conversation. These are utterly marvellous ideas. I was expecting something of the vintage of, well, Myrtle Shakespearean Dog in a Rough.
Thank you.
I mean, to look at you, one would expect something a bit trite and self-satisfied with some kind of seed stuck between her front teeth.
Oh, is there?
But those two slogans are both stirring and...
Excuse me, ladies.
Nearly finished. Those two suggested propaganda slogans are both stirring and pithy.
Tickets, please.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, thank you. You can't go wrong with the British Rail Blue Dormy Stampers.
Thank you.
My brother designed them. Now, of course, he's been relocated to Bletchley Park, the secret code and cipher school in Buckinghamshire, 50 miles northwest of London.
Lucky old him.
I say Bletchley Park, but they all refer to it as Station X or the London Signals Intelligence Centre in any official communique, in case the Nazis find out.
Oh wait, train guard?
Yes, passenger?
Tittle Tattle lost the battle.
Oh,
that's stirring and pithy.
Oh, thanks, guys.
I won't be sharing that information again. Next stop, Little Sodom. Good evening, then.
This way, ladies. And I must apologise. Master Washington Rupp's taken in some tearaways from the city. One oughtn't to be thrown should they suddenly lunge out of the shadows or fall teeth first out of a cabinet.
Thank you, but it should be a quick in-out operation. I doubt much can throw us this evening. Oh, what's Millicent doing here?
Well, the Right Honourable Caspian Washington Rupp is my great-uncle, Dotty. I thought one knew. By Jove, I may have forgotten to mention it. Uncle, these are Peabody's gals.
Play the charm, Walter.
Thank you, sir. And may I say...
Some of my daughters are my judges.
Yes, Uncle. Spot on.
Very good. Absolutely.
Good show. Well, needs must crack on
eggs and omelettes, Dotty.
Peg, would you like the platter, or shall I?
Oh, well, considering everything,
very
I'd
good,
like
then.
To...
then, Dotty stepping forward. The Right Honourable Caspian Washton Rupp, Miss Hilary Hilary Jones. Loose lips sink ships. Simple, direct, and...
Rubbish! Senator Gold Coast!
Was that Gold Coast? What? Sorry?
Sorry?
Sorry? I thought he mentioned the Gold Coast. Must have imagined it. Sorry. Well, if sunk ships don't float your boat, there's a tittle-tattle lost the battle. Is that it?
Gosh, no, no. Fat chance.
Well then, fire away, Dotty. Yes. Gosh, that's a loud grandfather clock, isn't it?
You must have a third option. Everyone has a third option.
Quite. Third time's a charm, eh? England. No. Britain.
They finished while they're still here.
The Air Marshal did give them a week, Uncle. I'm somewhat flabbergasted myself.
Grrr. Sorry?
What?
I know. Alarming, isn't it? But that's, well, that's what happens when, if there's an invading force, one steps on Britain's toe and then... Grrr. Britain. Grrr.
Dotty, are you quite well?
Stirring, patriotic, simple poster, image of a dog. And there the chap is, the dog, in a rough, Shakespearean rough, recognisably so. And he's on stage. And he's looking down at us, and in the stalls, you ask me, you and the Right Honourable Captain Washington Rudd there, and even you, Millie. And he looks at us, the dog does, and he's saying, Britain. Grrr. Grr.
Grr.
Grr. Yep. And he invites us up to dance. He invites us up, just like that, up onto the stage to dance. He says, come on, chaps, have a
dance.
And we, we do.
I liked it.
Oh, hello. Oh, we've our little evacuee girls here. Where have you been hiding?
In the clock.
In my room, little one.
Yeah, I like the dog.
Well, I put it off of his charms, Britain girl. Come up and have a dance.
I like the dog, too.
Don't forget the rough.
You know, rough was awful.
Uncle wasn't at all keen on the rough.
Nor was I.
Yes, you know, you've successfully put yourself in
the heart. Uncle Washington Rupp says you've successfully put yourself into the heart and mind of a common layman. Some sort of awful East End troglodyte. A kind of lurching, tumble-down aberration of nature, in the true sense of the word, yet still very much part of the populace. How do we appeal to her, Uncle says? If it's not with sheer, unadulterated lunacy, no one can say. And if the message got through to one of our little evacuees, it'll get through to all and sundry.
Sundry, mostly.
Especially the sundry. Well... well done, young, little evacuee girl. Come on out into the light and say how do you do. I'm your surrogate cousin, Millicent.
Hello, Millicent. Hello, Dot. Hello, Pig.
Hello there, little girl.
My name's Myrtle.
Is it?
And this is my friend, Hapney.
Dog on stage. What fun.
Evening all. Bally trunkload of apologies and heartfelt oh my's for being so dashed late. Troubles as big as the Cotswolds in getting here. I drove to your nunnery, Lady Three, and I'm sad to say the whole bally thing has been bombed to smithereens. No sign of life, and I can only presume my little moon pie went with it. I wonder if the heart ever heals from such a loss. But from the noise, I can only imagine you've had a splendid evening.
Oh, man, I won a competition.
Won it, you say? Well done, Lady Three, and well done, Lady Two. I knew you could pull it out of the bag, one. And on top of which... oh, my blessed saints.
What is it?
Against all odds. Do my eyes deceive me? Is that an angel or my little Hapney?
You look like someone's been sick and caught it a face.
Darling, I'm your father.
Daddy?
The one who writes all those piffling telegrams and sodded postal orders.
Daddy?
The one and same, my bonny moon pie.
Daddy!
I thought you were gone forever.
Oh, you smell of old cabinets and damp.
Yes, I do. You knock-kneed little East End thug. But I'm going to take you home and clean you up, and you're going to live with Mrs. Peabody and me, and I'm never going to let you out of my sight again.
Hooray!
She presumably has a mother, sir.
Oh. Well, we can pay her off.
I love you, my ocean dove.
I love you too, Daddy.
Well, it's hardly your country needs you, but seeing Britain Girl in print with the Union flag emblazoned across it does stir up a certain something. Well done, Myrtle. How are you finding life as an adult again?
Staying at the Right Honourable Washton Rub residence was certainly different. I had an eider down, not just a corner with sawdust and chewed up newspaper, and there was a light at the end of the tunnel. Not just another tunnel.
Look on the bright side.
What's that?
We never need to see that squalid, malevolent little snotling again, insulting goodly and not unpretty ladies about their faces and hair.
She could have been worse.
That's not a sign of virtue, Peg. Cholera could have been worse. No, she's gone. We're not going to the Gold Coast. And Millicent Hillary Jones has to give me my 10 shillings for winning the propaganda competition. Millicent, how the devilsome art thou today?
Cheery, Dot.
Oh, just a touch of bulldog spirit seeing my design in print.
I see they based the dog on your goblin.
Indeed.
Hello.
Well, all's well that ends, apparently. And now there's just the little case of...
Indeed.
10 shillings... for Britain Girl.
It wasn't only that, Millie.
No, of course. Also, come on, everyone. Come on, up on stage and have a dance with me.
Well, there's no accounting for public taste. Just pop it over. There's a girl.
Oh, there is one little thing, Dotty.
Oh?
A special little treat. Afraid terribly Mrs. Air Marshal Peabody didn't take to halfpennies much as one might have hoped.
Oh, for shame.
Rather. So, little idea. Change of plan, Dorothy.
Yes?
Halfpenny, dear. Don't be shy.
Halfpenny!
You.
Oh, not you again. You look like someone's pooed in a teacup. And then...
Taken his finger and drawn a big poo moustache, and they live in a big house made of toilet.
Yeah. And your head looks like a fish.
Important mission, Dorothy. Take Miss Peabody up into the Highlands of Scotland. Long trip, many unscheduled stops en route, you know. Thing, hours and hours between stations, waiting for a bombing raid to stop. Oh, gosh, she's loud, isn't she? So, dress nice and warm, Dotty. It's a long way for such a darling little moon pie. And bearing in mind this is rather your culpa, as it were, tickets should be, about 10 shillings, Dotty.
Thank you, Millicent.
No, thank you, Dotty.
I'm a Peabody. My daddy could buy you.
In Dot by Ed Harris, Dot was played by Fenella Woolgar, Myrtle by Kate O'Flynn, Peg by Freya Parker, and Millicent by Jane Slavin. Air Marshal Peabody was played by David Acton, Halfpenny by Alicia Ambrose Bailey, Matron by Susan Jameson, and the Right Honourable Washington Rub by Sean Baker. The director was Jessica Brown.
When you're up to your neck in hot water...